Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A wood bison found dead outside a Western Interior village had been shot. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports that the March 30th death near the village of Shagaluk was originally suspected to be due to natural injury or sickness, but the villagers who butchered the animal found a bullet in the bison. The death is now being investigated as an illegal take. Wood bison were reintroduced in the area by the state in 2015 with the idea of reestablishing the species as a local source of food, but hunting the animal is not currently allowed. Fish and Game says it's the third documented instance of a wood bison being shot since 130 of the animals were released in the Anoka River region. Alaska wildlife troopers are asking the public for help investigating the latest illegal harvest. Meat from the animal was salvaged by Shagaluk residents at the direction of Fish and Game. The Interior Gas Utility Board of Directors is meeting this morning to consider an agreement to further explore an alternative Cook Inlet natural gas supply. IGU's top executive won't name the company, but says it offers a better price and longer-term contract than the present arrangement with Anchorage-based Hillcorp. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
IGU General Manager Jomo Stewart says the Board of Directors decided Thursday to meet this morning to consider authorizing him to move ahead on negotiations for what appears to be a sweet offer that would enable the utility to buy natural gas at a lower price than the $7.72 per million cubic feet that it's now paying Hillcorp.
Appreciably less than that. It's also a much longer contract than...
Stewart says the proposal would span longer than a decade, but he says that's about all he can disclose about the offer that's outlined in the binding term sheet the IGU board will consider in this morning's meeting because of a confidentiality clause in the document.
We're not trying to be sneaky, but we are trying to be sensitive to the desires of the seller.
Stewart says negotiations with the seller have been going on for about a year now, and he says it's now important that the board commit to the basic terms that have been worked out so far.
It's now ripe for consideration.
IGU board president Pam Troop says based on her 40 years of work in the real estate industry, it's common practice to include a confidentiality clause in preliminary agreements like a binding term sheet. The documents lay out the terms both sides generally agree to as they continue negotiating toward a contract.
Now, there will be subtleties and nuances that come up in a contract, and if we can't work through those, then it wouldn't be binding, but for those big terms that are in there, those are binding terms.
Troop agrees the company's proposed price is attractive, but she says the IGU board will proceed cautiously because this is the first time it's negotiated a natural gas contract. The present arrangement with Hillcorp was originally negotiated by officials with Pentex, the parent company of Fairbanks Natural Gas, or FNG. In December, the IGU bought Texas-based Pentex and subsidiaries, including FNG, from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. Board member Patrice Lee says she dislikes the confidentiality clause.
We owe it to the public to be transparent and to continue to stick to the goals of affordable energy, affordable gas, and the goal of cleaning up our air.
Lee said Friday she's closely scrutinizing the document in preparation of this morning's meeting.
The Interior Gas Utility owes it to the public to do the best due diligence, the most complete due diligence it possibly can, on any of the offers or proposals we receive.
Troop agrees that the board needs to carefully consider this and any big agreement that comes before it, and she emphasized the IGU is just beginning to gear up to meet its goal of distributing natural gas widely throughout the Fairbanks area by building a huge storage tank in the city's industrial area and extending its pipeline network to North Pole and elsewhere.
We're setting up a legacy utility and legacy contract.
In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Me Too movement is being mischaracterized in popular culture. That was a primary message of Me Too founder Tarana Burke, who spoke at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Friday. Burke says the power of Me Too lies with individuals, not the media.
It's your movement. It's our movement. It is the survivor's movement. You are in it if you say you're in it. You know, if you need to see MSNBC declare that so-and-so is part of the Me Too movement, it won't happen.
Burke first began using the words Me Too as a means of connecting with young women she counseled in Alabama, but dispels the common belief that Me Too is solely a women's movement, emphasizing that people of both genders can be victims of sexual violence. Burke is also critical of media overfocus on powerful men identified as perpetrators, which she says misses the point of why so many victims of sexual violence are coming forward.
These people who are standing up are asking for healing. They're asking for resources. The other stuff, the punitive stuff, is very, not even secondary. And so this is not a movement about taking down powerful men.
Burke cautions there's a lot at stake.
I feel like we're in a unique historical moment. And if we don't reshape the narrative, we are going to miss an opportunity to really shift the culture.
Burke says she hopes people who hear her speak leave thinking about their role in driving the movement forward.
We can do this work. We don't have to wait for somebody else to validate us. So if y'all are willing to do this work, the only thing I can leave you with are these two words. Me too.
Tarana Burke was brought to UAF by the Nanook Diversity and Action Center. I'm Dan Bross.